Hi, everyone.
Welcome back, Club Too Niche.
It's 2024, and we're here.
It's the first haul of the year. It's a big one. I guess it's like our new annual new haul of the year.
It's Too Niche tradition at this point. It's canon. When every year kicks off, we simply must haul the New York Times predictions for the year ahead.
Okay, so this time we're actually combining two lists because the New York Times does nothing if not love to predict. And they predicted 12 trends for 2024. And then they also predicted what the food trends would be in a separate article. So we're going to do both of those because we have a lot of thoughts on both of the offerings. But first, it's time for the first Too Niche effect of 2024. Today, we are talking about something deeply important.
The Kim Kardashian Hollywood game has been taken off of the App Store.
After 10 years and a lot of money made, they've said it's lights on Kim Kardashian Hollywood.
And this news got released, and then subsequently, a woman took to TikTok to lament the passing of this game and revealed that she basically had spent the past 10 years playing this game every day and had built like a gorgeous second life for herself as like player like number 11 in terms of everyone that's played the game.
Cute dog, hot boyfriend, amazing fashions. She had it all.
Hot husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
houses in every major city, private jets, Escalades. She had the dream life, a closet full of clothes.
And then Kim said, sorry.
Goodbye. So my heart goes out to all the players who invested not only their time, but their money, because that game ain't cheap. And I know that because I spent $80 playing that game.
Which blows my mind still.
The thing is, I'm a big Kim head. I really do fuck with most things that she puts out into this world.
That's so interesting to me.
I know. I'm wearing Skims right now.
Wow. I don't know. I feel like the result of the Kardashian-based episodes that we've gotten to do on this show, it like got the Kardashians out of my system. Like I had to talk about it.
It got them more into my system and got me watching the show more and being like even more obsessed with them. But like, mostly I'm obsessed with Kendall Jenner's personal style. And well, that means I'm just mostly obsessed with her stylist, Danny Michelle.
That's
my
true.
My dream queen stylist.
Who I used to be friends with.
Ugh, Danny.
Like one of my first friends in LA.
Ugh.
Because both of her college boyfriend was best friends with my college boyfriend. So I didn't really know that many people.
God, the tales
yeah,
we weave.
True. She's crushed it.
The sands of time.
For so long, I was like, Danny's crushing it. She's working for Erica Jane.
That was huge.
and
now look at her.
Yeah.
The Erica Jane to Kardashian employee pipeline is very strong.
Steph Shep.
Mm-hmm.
The hair guy. I forget his name.
Manifesting a Danny Michelle in my life.
Yeah.
In the years to come.
I also do think Kendall is a great touchstone for you style-wise because of her height.
It's a height and the simplicity factor.
Mm-hmm. Where I'm more like Olsen twin.
And I love that for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, we all have to like look to who our style icon is purely based on height.
So true.
It helps.
So true.
Anyway, Too Niche effect. We talked about Kardashian brands. We did a tight 10 on Kim Kardashian Hollywood. And now she's donezo. May she rest. But when we were talking about this, obviously ad nauseum off the mic, You made a great point, a great prediction that I would like you to say here.
Okay, so my prediction is that the Kim Kardashian Hollywood game might be going dormant from your app right now, but I do believe it will be back when augmented reality and virtual reality become more of a thing. Specifically, I think in tandem with like the Apple headsets that are going to come out, and when you can actually fully live in an immersive world where you experience the luxury as we move more into our peasant era, experiencing luxury in just like virtual reality will be a huge thing. And I think that's when the Kardashian Hollywood game is going to come back full force and like let you live a life that you're nowhere near affording just from the safety of your couch.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Meta thing that is with, her name's Billy, but it's Kendall Jenner, and she basically like sold her identity to Meta for, I'm sure, so much money, and you could like message with them. It's a whole weird creepy thing that I don't like, and I think it like landed pretty flat. Like, I don't think anybody was too interested in it when it announced.
Yeah, like I still don't understand the mentality. I understand her mentality of wanting to make money, but I don't understand the mentality of someone who knows that they're not actually texting with the person, right, either paying or
needing that service. I think it's delusional. Yeah,
you
but
need
I
a therapist.
Think that if you're in someone like Kendall's position, or I know like Paris Hilton did it too, it's like your likeness is already out there in perpetuity, so you might as well make money off of somebody AIing you versus someone just doing it in their basement.
I'd like more basement AIers to be forging people's likenesses like a chat mentality.
It's happening.
Like a going rogue chat bot.
Yeah.
But like as a joke, not trying to scam or anything.
Right. I think it's more in the, it's a both.
Yeah.
It's a both land that we're living in.
Did you see that? I was listening to Jeff Lewis's podcast and Andy Cohen was on it, and he said he got scammed.
Yeah.
Like, I think he got taken for like a lot of money. Did he ever say the amount? Jeff said, if you get it back successfully, will you tell me the amount? And he said, yes.
I read like the headline about it.
I was shook by that.
You gotta be careful out there. I love the subreddit scams. Do you know that one?
No,
it's
just
everybody posting the people trying to scam them like via text and stuff. And it's just like good to know like how people are doing it.
Okay, I wish I had known about that when I was going through my Poshmark hell, but we're on the other side now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. So that was the Tunish effect for this week, January 8th, 2024. Now it's time for the haul at hand. The New York Times, they've brought their styles desk together and they've put together 12 predictions for what they think life is going to be like in the year ahead. And I think it's a pretty robust list. I have some thoughts.
Yeah, I really think that these prediction lists are super sinister coming from the New York Times. I don't trust them whatsoever. And I think they're priming you. Like, some of them are harmless, but then some of them are like priming you to accept like a reality that otherwise you'd be like, wait, what? No.
Bleak.
Yeah.
We're going to try something new and just for this particular haul. And instead of going with our classic two-niche grading system, we're just going to sheesh or niche it. Is it a sheesh?
Or is it a niche? First things up, according to the New York Times, what will 2024 be like? They said jocks are cool again.
And they said it's brought on by the fact that Taylor Swift has entered the NFL land. And that's the catalyst for people caring about sports.
I'd say not no, but I'd also say jocks have always been cool. That's why professional sports exists.
I agree.
So I'm giving this a sheesh.
It's a sheesh. It's just like a little bit like, okay.
It's a sheesh because it's already a thing.
Yeah.
So whoever said this, Wilson Wong, I'm looking at you and I'm wagging my finger at you and saying, tell us something we don't already know.
That's right. And also the Olympics.
Oh, is the Olympics are this
Paris
year.
Paris Olympics are 2024 summer.
God damn it.
I know.
It.
It's a rough
God
a rough
damn
one
it. It always
on paper.
Oh my God. In Europe? This is gonna ruin Europe summer.
Sheesh. Okay, this one. Next up, they say everything's coming up rosettes. And that last year was peak bow, and now we're on to rosettes.
Rosettes also seem like a sheesh to me. Like, I feel like we've already been in a rosette era.
We sheeshed them in our summer trends 2023.
Yeah.
But I will say that I was so maxed out on bows by the end of 2023 of just like visual bow content that I somehow was getting fed. It was like I signed off. Mainly because of the bows.
The only bow I really can accept and that I find to be whimsical is like a black bow in the hair.
Yeah.
Like that, I think, timeless. Is a timeless accessory that should just be now
in the mix.
In the mix all the time. Totally. And always an option.
Absolutely.
Every other bow can truly fuck off unless it's around the neck of a gorgeous little animal.
Cute.
Yeah.
The whole like rosette bow, that whole thing is apparently called coquette core,
mm-hmm.
which I found to be a very fun moniker for such a thing. And I have coquette core searched on Pinterest.
What did you find? Anything good?
Just like girly ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of niche.
It's like almost even like little girl core in a way where I'm like
coquette. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, as a grown woman, you should be suspicious of parading and wanting to be coquettish.
There's like a whole, there's a whole
thing. You can be coquettish much like you can, like Luann is kind of coquette when sometimes. Yeah. And I would challenge any woman over the age of 18 to channel that. As opposed to like Miss Bo Peep.
Yeah. I just like, I don't think the tides have turned for me when it comes to a rosette in terms of attire. Maybe as a detail on like a black tie gown, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not co-signing.
Maybe on a blazer.
Oh.
Carrie Bradshaw, but probably not.
Don't know.
Probably not.
Not yet. So this one, they're saying we're aging out of social media.
I see this already in myself of being like, I'm never on Facebook. Like I would have deleted, but I need it for Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Smart of them to create Marketplace just when I thought I was out.
It's their best offering. The AI, we can leave at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's old console. Yes.
Instagram, I hate it.
Hate it. Graveyard.
It gives me no pleasure. It's like Pinterest, but worse. My Pinterest use has gone skyrocketed.
Same.
Up. To the point where my Pinterest is mostly just ads now that I'm scrolling through all the time, but that's okay. TikTok, I'm really TikTok curious, like 5 years after the fact.
I would love to know from any savvy TikTok users that are listeners, like what would you want to see if Too Niche was active on a TikTok platform?
Let us know.
My social media usage is lurking on Reddit, never commented, never posted, but lurking.
My Reddit use is way up as a lurk.
I'm a looky loo only, mm-hmm. but that's my number one. Like my favorite thing to do is before I go to bed at night, just like Reddit read.
The only space I think I've ever commented on in Reddit world was like in a Grateful Dead forum of some sort. And that's the only place I would feel comfortable commenting. But like any other space, I'm lurking.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get... Take the temp of what people are saying. I love to take the temp.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. But like Instagram, I just will go on and like scroll for hours. But really, I just end up on like the explore page
usually.
That's
time we can't get back.
I know.
I'm done.
Slowly dying.
It's awful.
TikTok, I can be on for a long time and it's the same as watching TV. So it doesn't feel right. It feels kind of bad to spend that much time, but not that bad because you're kind of learning things or being entertained.
Yeah. I think that as long as there's like intention with it, it's good. But then there was one incident in 2023 where I like hadn't been on in like a month and I went on as like a bedtime treat. And it was maybe 10 p.m. And then all of a sudden I looked at the clock. It was 3:30 in the morning. No. And I was like, this is so dark.
That's the wrong time to go on TikTok.
So bad.
It needs to be like an afternoon.
I couldn't stop.
And I know. I've done that too. That happened to me over Christmas break where it was a 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I was like, holy shit.
Unwell. Yeah. I think so. I'm a big proponent of a Reddit lurk. Active Pinterest, secret Pinterest, then Instagram I'm not interested in. TikTok, maybe in the new year.
Also on Instagram, my problem is I don't want to follow anyone that I follow anymore, but I feel like I have to keep following the people. Like, I feel like it's like a personal thing if like you unfollow someone.
Yeah, you can always just mute everybody.
Well, I already do that, but okay. I don't want to see them, period.
I unfollow people.
Really?
It's like, it's with love. Like, and when I do it, I channel a feeling of like, this is not an affront to you. I'm just cleansing. And I go in with
really
that energy.
In my head about like,
it's a thing
that it's going to like hurt someone's feelings if I unfollow them. And then I get into like looking at their profile and then I'm like, if they follow me, I'll keep following them. Right. But then I'm finding myself being like, please don't follow me. Please don't follow me. While it's loading. And then they will. And I'll be like, no, I cannot release them.
With love and light, edit it down.
Maybe I just need a total Finstagram that only like close friends know about. And then I never go on my real Instagram ever again. I only operate from like a Finsta. But is that Reality Von T's vibes?
A little bit, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Or is there much to think about?
Yeah. I would say this one's a major niche.
This one's a niche.
It's like, what else can you be doing other than staring at your phone?
A lot of things.
Yeah.
You could stretch.
A whole bunch. You could stretch. You could walk. You could stare at another kind of screen.
You could also just breathe in and breathe out and do nothing. But like someone told me about this recently where it's like active resting where you just focus on nothing. It's not meditating, but you're just doing nothing intentionally and breathing in and out. And so that's something you could also do.
I like that.
Moving on. Fancy glassware sheds a stigma.
They're saying that basically it's all about fancy stemware in this new year. I've kind of been here.
I like don't understand like gendered cocktail glasses. I don't get it. And I'm like, what? I don't think they've ever had a stigma. Just serve it. Put it in a glass. What?
I
like you go to a bar, you order a drink, and right. The man's gonna be like, I'm not drinking this out of a fancy glass.
And is like, actually, this is the wrong glassware.
Well, like, okay, if you want a cocktail in a certain glass, just ask for it in that glass. Like, what the fuck?
But also, where my head goes, since we're firmly in a peasant era and it's very much reiterated in 2024 as it was in 2023, I think that it's like vintage glassware because you can't buy anything new.
This
is
like
a little bit of like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, just fancy old-timey stemware is cool again.
Whatever you found on the street.
It's great.
Whatever your evicted neighbors left behind that you can scavenge from their apartment before someone comes to like reclaim their possessions.
Right. No need for a minimalist specific
glass.
You're
right. This is peasant era coded.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fool you again.
Yep.
I give it a sheesh.
Yep.
Next, smartwatches enter elementary schools. Parents seem to be way more open to getting smartwatches for their kids because it's easier to control the kids' accounts and
like
usage.
Versus a phone. But here's my question, and I don't have a smartwatch, so pardon my not knowing this, but don't you need like a phone? Like, can you go to school with not the phone nearby? Like, doesn't the smartwatch need to be in the vicinity of the cell phone?
I think you can get a 5G. You can either choose like a Wi-Fi smartwatch or 5G.
I consulted with my friend
who has
kids in elementary school and a kid in middle school. And I was like, what's your thoughts? Are they getting smartwatches? She's like, it would be like for like a year or two. And then it would be like, it's be sort of like a middle of the road piece of tech.
Before the phone.
Yeah.
What age are the kids getting phones right now?
I think that they're getting them in middle school.
Remember, I was like embarrassed to get a phone. I was like, I literally would rather kill myself than someone see me with the cell phone right now.
Oh, I was a snake queen with my Nokia.
I had like a flip Motorola and I was like, if someone calls me, I will self-immolate. Like, I cannot, like, I don't want to be reached. I don't, like, want this phone. It's embarrassing to have it.
That's cool.
And then I had, like, the Nokia brick phone.
Yeah.
And that was, like, also fine. But I was, like, the only phone I was ever, like, so excited about was, like, the iPhone when it came out.
I yearn for my pink Motorola Razr.
Oh, that's really good.
I would love to be just back pocketing that.
Yeah, my brother and I, like, one of the biggest fights we've ever been in was, like, my dad got my brother a Motorola Razr, and I, like, lost my mind.
They were so cool.
They were so cool.
I don't know about the... I feel like I'm not in the demographic to make any type of comment about smartwatches in an elementary school. I guess if you can like keep track of your child and like what's up. Oh, my friend did say this was the intel. She said it's all about bringing your tech into the bathroom at school because like teachers aren't in there. She said all the kids just like go in the bathroom and like use their phones.
Well, that's what my like best friend's 2-year-old son does. Is the way they got him to potty train, like he'd just be like, can I go to the bathroom? And then he would take a phone and he'd just sit in there for like 30 minutes watching the phone.
Same.
I know, same. But like, I'm like, that's so young. I'm also, what's on my algorithm hugely is like the iPad kids, aka Gen Alpha.
Okay.
Are across the board, the review on the iPad kid generation is sheesh. Everyone's over them already. Teachers are saying they're so fucking rude. They've taken over Sephora. They are in Sephora. No wonder Sephora looks disgusting. It's all their little tiny hands making fingerprints on everything.
My Reddit is all about Sephora kids.
The Sephora 10-year-olds.
And like people complaining about them.
Do you know that for the first time ever, yesterday evening, I walked into Sephora after going to go see a movie, did one lap, literally was dodging the iPad kids, was in a state of utter disgust at like the lay of the land. It was the dirtiest I've ever seen a Sephora in my life.
Grove?
Americana.
Oh. Glendale.
And I had high hopes because I was like, we're in a new Caruso property now. Like, certainly things will be different here. Every product was like missing. I was like, this is a zoo. Like, I'm going to cancel my credit card. And I walked right into Nordstrom and did my shopping in there.
Honestly, we should all be buying our beauty from Nordstrom.
I know. They have lifetime returns.
It's seamless. Also, to that, on the Glendale Americana front, John Hill and I on Christmas went to go see the Beyonce Renaissance movie.
Ooh.
The amount of people that were just at the Americana, just hanging out on Christmas. No stores were open. It was a major missed opportunity for the stores.
Retail.
I was like, if I knew that this area was going to be this jam-packed with people,
my store
they're
would be
leaving
open
money at the door.
And a sale would be happening.
Oh, yes. So it was just people just hanging out outside at the mall, standing around, not waiting to go to see a movie.
Americana is really good vibes, though.
Just looking at the lights, enjoying being outside. I was like, this is crazy. This is like, people were like, this is what we're doing on Christmas.
That's fucking crazy.
It was weird.
But yeah, Sephora is over. It's literally like Discovery Zone. That's what it's like, a ball pit.
Sephora kids.
It's the Sephora kids have turned Sephora into a ball pit. And I've been wondering for the past 2 years why it's so disgusting in Sephora. And now I realize it's because it's a children's playpen.
Drunk elephant has blood on their hands.
Fuck drunk elephant. We have them to blame.
Fully.
Also, I read a fun article that was like, Gen Z actually is aging worse than millennials from an aesthetic standpoint because they're fucking with their faces way too much.
Skin barrier.
Using way too much skincare too young. They're doing filler and injectables way too young, and they actually look older than millennials. So I was like,
smug.
Yeah.
I just give the whole like tech for kids scenario. It's a real TBD.
Yeah, it makes me glad I don't have a kid because I don't want to argue with them over when they're going to get a $900 phone.
Or a holdover smartwatch for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay, this one is weird, but theme dressing becomes a red carpet staple. So the nod is to, for instance, like the Barbie movie that I thought Margot Robbie's promotional outfits were better than the movie.
Yeah, I was into the promotional outfits. But that also felt appropriate to do theme dressing for Barbie. Like, it just felt right.
Absolutely.
I think theme dressing is really cheesy.
I don't know if we need that. I'm more so into
Halloween.
Like a group choreo a la like the McGain premiere. Like, do the dance on the red carpet from the movie.
Okay, I don't love a choreo. I don't like a flash mob, like anything. For me personally, and I say this with love and light, I don't like that, but it's cool if you do.
Group choreo brings joy for me.
Like the Heidi Klum group choreo on the red carpet for Halloween was fun.
That was cool.
But I'm more into like, let's go back to 90s, early 2000s movie premiere dressing, which was like extremely casual.
Jeans and a blazer.
Yeah, just like cool business casual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you wear to like a nice lunch? Wear that to the premiere.
Yeah,
like
I
don't want everyone's too done.
Well, it's with the Globes, like there was nobody poorly dressed. Like everybody, it's just there's such involvement from fashion houses, stylists,
and brands, and
like the whole thing. It's just like impossible to miss now. People were missing, but you know what I mean? Like everybody's like the team, like it's just such a whole different thing. It's like the opposite of casual.
It's way too team.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's go cat. I want just like casual glamour again, where people just like looked like themselves. They dress how they like to present. And then even if you have a team behind it, I think it would be so much more of like a powerful statement just to be like, I'm not
mellow,
like participating in this.
Sharon Stone in the Gap tee.
Yeah. Or like Gwyneth at every premiere.
Yep.
Or like Julia Roberts, like back in the day. Or like any celebrity that attended a red carpet event from like the years like 1992 to like 2002.
Agree. This one's sheesh. Okay. This one is so over my head. I don't even know to include it.
Okay. I can speak on this because the Grand Theft Auto VI hype got my ass.
Oh, really?
From this article, it was like, because I saw a lot of activity about the
GTA
trailer dropping. And then now my TikTok algorithm also is like, there's this CapCut filter that you can do, which I'm going to do it. It's like the Grand Theft Auto theme song will swipe your face and show you what your Grand Theft Auto character looks
That's
like.
Cool.
And I'm really dying to see what mine looks like because everyone's look pretty cool. I've played Grand Theft Auto maybe once in my life. I don't really get it. You just like drive cars around and like steal shit. But this trailer did look cool. And I do think video games, though I don't play them and engage, are the future of entertainment.
So I guess the thing that makes this very exciting for fans, which it's coming out in 2025.
Yeah, which is insane that a trailer has dropped over a year in advance.
GTA VI or is it GTA 6?
It's GTA 6. I was just being silly.
I was like, whoa. So apparently it's set in Miami, which evokes the visuals of a Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which it says here it was its 21-year-old predecessor. And I fully remember like hanging out with a boy in their basement like while they played Vice City, and I'm feeling elder. 21 years?
But
okay.
I thought GTA like had come out with another thing like a few years ago.
I thought GTA never left.
That I thought they were like always coming out with stuff. Yeah,
same. But I guess it's like nice to get the attention of a gamer. Like once you have that, you're set up for boku bucks.
Oh, there's like many different Grand Theft Autos. Like there's the numerical ones, but then there's also like...
The trailer for this game that's coming out a year from now has 128 million views.
Yeah. I mean, people are lit
people
for
are
it.
Into that. Cool. Well,
good for them. They did that. I mean, they're giving the people something, a really, I respect it because it's like you're giving fans a rock solid product that they're really excited about. And it's like thoughtful. It's high end.
Yeah.
It's like storytelling, visuals, like hype, like it's firing on all cylinders. And I can't be mad at it.
It's nice to have something to look forward to.
It's nice to have people who are getting off their fucking asses and doing a job right.
Seems like no one wants to work these days.
They truly don't.
Okay, so I give it a niche.
I'll give it a niche, even though it's 128 million people. It's not that
not
niche.
That niche, but you know what we mean. Okay, less virtuous drinks, meaning as a backlash to like the no ABV or like the adaptogenic mushroom beverages or like a fancy sparkling water, if you will. Now they're like highly caffeinated beverages, hard sodas, whatever the case may be, just drink it.
This is also insane to me to even say this because like I think a lot of the population already drinks with quote unquote less virtuous drinks.
I think that's the point of like indulging in any type of beverage.
Yeah, but I mean being like...
If the
backlash to like all of us having adaptogens is that now some of you are going to drink Natty Ice and like it's less virtuous. I'm like literally like probably more people in the U.S. drink that than like drink adaptogenic beverages anyways.
I'm going to say something that like no one is going to really want to hear, but that's the God's honest truth is that no canned beverage is virtuous by nature because it's in a can
Trash Island. Yeah.
It's a constant battle with myself.
I never even, until this very moment, thought of canned beverages as even being part of Trash Island in any way, shape, or form. I literally was like, the cans get recycled, and that's the end of that story. And then I was like, even patting myself on the back more, because I was like, I highly fuck with a mini can. And I was like, this feels amazing to be on the right side of history at all times. And then you just brought my world crashing down.
Sorry.
It's okay. The least virtuous I get is a Diet Coke mini in a can.
The least virtuous I get is a water bottle that they give you for free on the plane.
Love that. Someone asked Lisa Barlow recently how... They said, how is the Diet Coke in Bermuda? And she wrote, cans with a heart. And I was like, that's good.
That's good. Joey bought me, he was like, there was buy one, get one free Diet Cokes. And they were in the mini bottles.
No.
And I was like.
How dare you?
I was like, we have to talk.
You're going to need to return these.
Thank you for thinking of me. But everyone knows that it goes fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Mini cans, regular cans, glass bottles, plastic.
Plastic bottles are the last resort. I like won't even get a Diet Coke if it's only gross. In a plastic bottle. It's sick.
I know. So he learned something and that was great.
Not everyone knows, but you can do your best to educate them when the opportunity arises.
All we can do is educate.
And pray that they'll do better.
Yeah.
I'm giving this less virtuous drinks a sheesh.
Me too.
This next one is absolutely insane. And the person who decided this needs to be locked up abroad because I don't understand like where they're even coming from. And like, this is psychotic.
So they say that with the explosion of girlhood online over the last year, i.e. girl dinners, girl math, it's basically the fact that now we're moving into something equally as sweet, a butterfly kiss, when your eyelashes go up against someone's skin. Such a stretch.
I could see this like being a TikTok trend at some point. But like in the year of our Lord 2024, after COVID has been a thing, the last thing I want to do is go fucking lash to lash with anyone that I know. You have to be so close.
I think this person is joking.
Yeah. It's a business reporter. So I'm like,
yeah. The butterfly effect tells us that seemingly tiny events can have colossal, unpredictable effects on faraway places and in faraway times. Who knows what butterfly effects a year of fluttering eyelashes could yield?
They needed to meet like a word count minimum and then ask Miss Goldberg to weigh in. The thought of someone butterfly kissing my face is like, absolutely not.
It's weird. It's like
butterfly kisses aren't lash to lash, though.
No, it's like lash to cheek. Or like to hand. Like you can give yourself one.
Interesting. Now I'm like thinking, this has to just be a TBD because it's actually very niche. I'm going to have to give it a niche because it is actually niche. The amount of people that are going to be butterfly kissing is like a niche select of humans.
Butterfly niching.
So maybe she's onto something.
Maybe. I don't know. It was like very oddly worded.
This makes me now want to look into everything she's ever written and be like, who is this person? And figure out how their mind works.
I like that she's going from butterfly kiss to the butterfly effect. And
she got me a butterfly effect because I was very altered by that movie.
Ashton Kutcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to give it a niche question mark just because it's kind of absurd, but most niche things are.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a niche ... question mark.
This next one I feel like happened 2 years ago, but I'll go with it. Manicures for the boys.
This also was like, what rock have you been hiding under? Clearly you've never watched Vanderpump Rules season 10.
Right, and just like in general, I feel like the male Manny has been a thing for quite a while. But okay. So that's a sheesh just because I think it missed the mark.
Yeah, a sheesh. And that was like, you predict that in like 2017.
This next one is a question mark for me as well. I'm going to preface it by saying that. Chocolate lava bubbles up. Molten chocolate cakes are back, baby.
I'm not mad at that, but I also kind of feel like they never left. Like, I feel like I've had like a gooey chocolate dessert.
It depends like what dessert program the restaurant you're at is on. Because a lot of them order their desserts from the same place.
I've had a molten dessert recently and like I'll always kind of go for like a chocolatey lava something or the other.
It says, in a presidential election year when some will be driven to seek comfort and others driven to hedonism, few desserts seem more ripe for a comeback than this classic warm, chocolatey, and indulgent confection.
I'm like, let's not politicize dessert, okay, lady? Let us just eat in peace.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
Go to Chili's.
She never left.
Really, this is an attack on Trump voters. And the places that they dine, because guess what? Once again, much like less virtuous drinks, the chocolate lava cake never went off the Chili's menu or the menu at Outback Steakhouse.
She didn't. She never did. Okay, I give it a... If chocolate lava cake starts popping up on the menu, I say great.
I think there are versions of chocolate lava cake everywhere if you really look hard enough. I'm saying this is a sheesh.
And then we have Tides Turn for Gen Z. And essentially, this is a callback to what you said for your iPad babies. Gen Alpha is now, has arrived online. And therefore, they're going to be coming for Gen Z the way Gen C, the way Gen Z came for millennials. And so now the Gen Zs are going to be made fun of because apparently it's so out to say the word slay and it's giving.
There are certain Gen Zers that are so Gen Z. It's like I actually can't believe it when I hear them speak. But then I'm also entranced by it because I'm like, oh my God, you're so you with this little way you're talking. And I like each generation kind of having a different way of talking and like communicating with each other and like their slang and stuff like that. I feel like the millennials, with being online and with social media, you're able to see that a lot more than how like Gen X, like what did they say? Like, who knows? Like they, what was their slang? Like boomer slang?
Boomer slang? I mean, I think like was a huge Gen Z, or not Gen Z.
Gen X.
Gen X. They introduced like into the vernacular.
We need to haul generational slang.
Yes. Love that.
Okay, me too. I'm excited to watch Gen Alpha take the piss out of Gen Z.
Sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I also just personally, I think it's a sheesh to just like be coming for other generations online. Like that's such a thing.
Let's not pit generations against other generations.
And then there's just so much like millennial think pieces and those sorts of things, like bashing and that I just could do without. I don't need it.
But I do really laugh at like the TikTokers who make fun of like millennial lingo and like jokes and stuff. Have you seen any of those pop up? Some of them are really funny because they're not like, I mean, they're making fun of like the worst type of person,
right?
Like like tiny mustache people, just like the worst kind of like the chugiest, most basic kind of like millennial female humor. Yeah. And that is funny to me.
I said I didn't like it, but then I realized our chugy episode was one of my personal fave hauls. So I stand corrected.
Funny is funny. So right. Just be funny about it and we're all good.
Just be funny. Let's pivot over to their 9 predictions for how we will eat in 2024.
This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
AKA, you see the PSYOP being foisted upon us.
First and foremost, snack hype. So it says, meals are so 2023. Next year will be all about snacks, small delicious bites, are a low stakes way to explore new cuisines. Okay. We all know what this is saying though, right?
This is psychotic. This is like saying you can't afford to eat a full meal anywhere anymore. So you are going to be happy just eating little snacks. You're going to spend $10 and just get 2 little snack balls and it's going to be the best $10 you've ever spent.
And you're going to love it.
And you're going to fucking love it. And you're going to get them from a place like Taco Bell, where they actively take minutes off your life with every bite.
Where they've collabed with another brand to bring you a snack.
The picture of this looks disgusting. Positively cursed.
It's the Taco Bell for milk.
And I kind of like Taco Bell. Like recently I was thinking about it and I was like, I really like, I need to do a big old Taco Bell binge soon. But that moment hasn't come just yet, right. But it's like on the docket. Like okay. I will have a Taco Bell moment in 2024. It's like cicadas, like once every 17 years, I eat a lot of Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's like a Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so there's a Milk Bar for Taco Bell collab, and its snacks can be the ultimate lowbrow cool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Stop with that right now. That's sheesh. I'm sorry.
It's way sheesh. And this is perhaps the most sinister suggestion of all.
You'll enjoy a snack.
You'll never go out to eat again, unfortunately. But you could go to Taco Bell where you get a little cancer ball. They've collabed with Milk. It's delicious.
Next is a too niche effect if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Hydration never takes a vacation. Water is going to be bigger than ever in 2024.
This is another, like, are you kidding me? This is like, you will not be able to afford even the less virtuous drinks. So you might as well turn on your poison tap and take a big sip, bitch, because this is all you're getting.
So they clock the rise of hashtag water talk, which is obviously been covered here on this show, where people add syrups and powders to giant tumblers of water. Also, an uptick in water psalms, which obviously is my dream profession.
Speaking of water psalms and my moonlighting as one, I noticed a new offering on the Air One shelves recently that was Sedona water. And I said, I'm keeping my eye on you. I haven't bought it yet.
Okay.
But it will be happening.
I think we're going to have a...
We need to haul all the new water brand because...
Yeah, there's a lot. Also...
Wearable hydration sensors. Hold the phone.
This is news to me. And then they predict that new ways to use waste to make water will pop up, like cacao water, which is left after the cacao bean is harvested. So like move over coconut water.
I'm getting into cacao water.
I'd be into it.
But needs to be very pure.
Yeah.
Wait.
What's this hydration sensor all about?
It's $129. It's a hydration biosensor. It takes the guesswork out of hydration strategies. Convenient charging case. Compares hydration products based on your needs. Tells you when to drink during exercises. Integrates with Apple Watch and Garmin Smart. What about Aura Ring?
Here's the thing that
Single-use patches. Trash Island. Refills cost $25 for 4 patches.
The thing is our system as like human bodies have a really interesting function that does this, which when you're thirsty, it means you're dehydrated.
No, when you're thirsty, it's too late. But our system does have a really good function, which is called the color of your piss. And
that's
if
right.
It's clear, you're good. If it gets yellow, you need to drink something. If it's orange, you're reaching a crisis zone. And if it's like brown, you need to go straight to the ER. But I do want a Nyx.
This is wild. Okay. I am all for the conversation around hydration sticking around. So I guess it's niche, but I think it's hilarious in how they presented it.
This is a pretty sheesh to me, just like as a rising trend. It's like... Yeah, also, everyone like has to drink water to survive.
Water is a luxury now.
Yeah.
Oh, you like
a like drinking water is a trend. Yeah.
Guess what?
But also,
you can't
Nyx,
use your faucet.
Sponsor the pod.
Yes. Okay, here's one of my favorites. Against the Grain, and it opens with, "It's gonna be buckwheat's year."
Buckwheat has moved out of the narrow confines of soba noodles and crepes. This lady, Kathy Strange, who's the Whole Foods Market ambassador of food culture, said that during a recent trip to Norway, she had a foie gras terrine with a crunchy layer of buckwheat. If you're just on a New York Times, you're dipping your toe in the water and you're on like a free trial and you're like, maybe they aren't just like elitist trash over there. Like looking down their nose at little old me in a flyover state and you read this sentence, you are canceling that free subscription and literally like burning your iPad.
Yeah, you're like,
I am done with these bitches.
Set. Thank you.
I'll bet she did have a delightful foie gras terrine with a I would also love to eat that.
Absolutely. I've loved buckwheat. because it's gluten free, and I went through obviously.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, it is gonna be buckwheat tier after all.
It's buckwheat tier. I'm telling you, it's
okay. Fuck, it really is. Thing. Kathy does know
a buckwheat crepe.
Okay.
Will satisfy all your bread laden cravings.
I am trying to be
the gluten.
Sans gluten right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm on Whole 30.
Well,
better believe I'm going
to
talk
from
about
Kathy's
it.
Mouth to fucking our ears. It is going to be buckwheat's motherfucking year.
I mean, I love buckwheat, but
buckwheat hot chocolate sounds good.
Mm. Okay.
It's a great cover crop and rich in protein and fiber. Wow. Okay. I take it all back.
Yeah. Get involved. Sipping your supper. So if you thought espresso martinis were special, mule flavored cocktails would like a word. Because apparently we're going to a place of caprese martini.
I'm happy to miss this trend. I'm happy to be dry. And I guess, I mean, it makes sense that cocktails would become a meal flavored thing because they cost as much as a meal.
There's a place in Hong Kong that serves a cocktail with smoked salmon infused gin, vermouth and caper brine, and everything bagel spice. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That's not in Hong Kong.
That's in Alabama.
That's in Alabama. I was like, that's a very interesting. They have but the Hong Kong has a Thai beef salad drink. I actually am good. This is a little gimmicky for me.
Mm-mm. The farthest I want a cocktail to go, like food wise, is like there's a great place in the West Village that has kind of like it uses a tomato infused vodka for their dirty martinis. Mm-hmm. And that is like amazing.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I'm like, what?
No.
Like, I don't need
Mm-mm.
everything bagel spice.
Smoked salmon infused gin? No, no. We're good.
Mm-mm. I love this next trend. Got to be real. Concern over what it takes to create food from elaborate processing methods will explode. Ultra-processed will continue its rise as a toxic food phrase, according to Mintel's 2024 Global Food and Drink Trends Report. So basically, everyone's waking up to the fact that in the United States, you're allowed to just like sell poison to people right. and call it food.
So natural fermentation, cold pressed oils, burgers from nuts and legumes, and good old fashioned ingredients like butter and cream will have cachet.
Question though, aren't burgers from nuts and legumes ultra processed?
I guess it depends if you're making it at your house or if you're buying it. Just depends.
Okay.
But that's a good question. Corally, ingredient descriptions will become more transparent and detailed. Instead of spicy citrus, you may see pomelo and habanero and include more biodiversity bona fides, but not in the precious farm to table way. So this is interesting with like the name changing. A friend of mine who has a beverage company was saying that like you can't say like just like citrus anymore. It's like pink grapefruit, or you know, it's like it's always like
you have to be specific legally or
no,
you...
like that's the trend.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting. And she's like, you know, this just is like you know, whatever it is, and then they always like punch it up, and that's just like across the board what everybody is doing, especially in like the hard seltzers and like the sparkling water beverages. Like it's all just like instead of cherry, it's like black cherry, sweet cherry, sour cherry. You know, it's just it's all getting like heavy-handed.
Flavor descriptive.
Yeah.
Hard seltzers have always been an absolute no for me.
I've never had one.
I don't think I've had one either.
Like
maybe I've had one sip of one
yeah.
one time and was like, this is fucking disgusting.
I can't do like flavored stuff. It always like never has agreed with me. So it's like
it's
an instant headache. Yeah. Okay, I give this one, like I thought we were already here, But I guess I give it a niche because it's good for the ultra processed to like go away. But it's also
give it a niche with the sheesh rising because I'm also like, this shouldn't be a trend. Like, right. This isn't a trend.
Also, what I'm hearing is they're justifying skyrocketing prices.
Definitely.
Doomsday prep.
Yeah.
Complex heat. Heat will move from brain exploding to nuanced and multidimensional. Getting paired with sweet and sour flavors or being coaxed from layering flavors from different peppers from different parts of the world. Okay. Again, this is just justifying the prices.
Of like Tabasco sauce. Yeah. I just thought we were already here with, I've experienced this.
Yeah.
In many a place.
Well, you're coastal, so.
Sheesh. Technology of the year, maybe. Artificial intelligence is about to be a big part of the conversation. Many in the food business have NFT-level skepticism about the hype. Some of the changes AI might bring won't be obvious, like tighter supply chains, food waste reduction, large kitchens, precision farming. But others might. AI-driven system allows a waiter to simply converse with the guest and send the order, enhanced with information about the comfort with AI in an earbud.
So it's like basically you're tipping someone to schmooze with you while they like teleport the order.
Like in an earbud, if they're repeating the order,
okay,
then AI would like interpret that in the computer and then print it up for the kitchen.
Sure.
So it's taking like, I guess it's the shaving footwork. Time off of like the waiter having to go to the machine and like type it in.
And then they can just hang out in kibitz for the tip.
I guess. Mm. I don't like
tech at my table.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to even see a hint of an earpiece.
No. TGI Fridays.
I'm also like, don't the good waiters like remember your order? Tell them and they memorize it and then they go. Like the best ones, a server's server
mm-hmm.
is like highly trained to not even have to write down a single thing.
I see this absolutely being where things are going. I don't like it. I'm boomer. I'm okay boomer about this.
Yeah, but I feel like this is like more for like a chain restaurant type of thing.
Absolutely.
Which is like fine. The thing about it is like,
can't we all just keep things the way they are for a little bit?
Certainly not. But like how many chain restaurants are you going to on the reg?
I wish I was going to more. I mean, I love a CPK.
The Coastal Elite tragedy is that chain restaurants just simply aren't as accessible as they are in other states.
I would really get down on some Cheesecake Factory right now. Chinese chicken salad.
That's always very available to you.
Not on Whole30.
So true. I'm like, I do fuck with like an Outback steakhouse.
I used to go to Outback with my grandma. She would always get the salad and the Bloomin' Onion.
Oh,
it was God, very cute. I don't know about all this.
This
scared.
Is like fine, but I'm also like, just will it even matter? We can't go to we won't be able to afford restaurants shortly anyways. the tech. We're updating all the technology. We're carving down jobs, firing more wait staff, and implementing AI.
See you soon.
All right.
It's like a sheesh question mark.
Mm-hmm. It's like a sheesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Florals.
Okay.
Pantone peach fuzz is the color of the year. Cherry blossom, violet will dominate. Wildflowers will abound. Okay, wait. I feel like weirdly seen and read to filth by this because shortly after I painted my room, not peach fuzz, then peach fuzz was announced as the color of the year. Now I went out of my way to buy some violet perfume recently, and now violet is a thing. And I'm like, am I just part of the algorithm? Or am I actually making my own decisions, or am I just
right.
in the matrix doing whatever it is I'm meant to do?
Maybe both. Wait, what's the violet perfume that you bought?
It was from Santa Maria Novella.
Okay.
I went in to get some like Christmas goodies, and then, well, what happened was I kind of fucked up because I thought I had had a sample of their violet perfume that I really liked. And then I asked the sales lady, like, do you have violet perfume? And then she was like, they actually discontinued it, but let me call around and let me see if I can get it from another store or something, and I'll call you and let you know. And then she called me and she's like, there's one bottle left. Like, do you want it? And I was like, yes. And then it got here, and then I realized it was the wrong, that I was not actually the perfume that I had thought that it was. It still is really, smells great and I like it. But what I really thought that I was doing was getting the Iris perfume, which is not.
Oh.
But it's like, it's fine.
Well, now you maybe resell it. And
yeah, I could posh it.
And
when in doubt, price. One can always posh.
I feel like this is a little over my head, but I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, I'm saying niche.
Okay, and then here we close.
This tells you everything you need to know about the agenda of the New York crimes. Go.
We end on with the dish of the year. The proposed dish of the year is soup. That's sad.
Guys, this is a crisis. It's time to storm the Capitol again.
This is rough. Soup?
Is bone broth's more interesting younger sibling and the perfect vehicle for cross-cultural? Don't turn this into like a cultural experience trying to tell us that soup is the dish of the year. This is peasant. We are now
knee deep
in peasant era.
Yeah.
They're not even letting us have bread. They're saying it's barley for you and soup.
I do love soup.
I mean, I'm in my soup era right now. I just went to Erewhon and bought like five soups recently.
Live for my immersion blender.
I love an immersion blender.
When I DIY a soup.
Yeah. I have no hate for soup. I love it and I am actively consuming, but like, it is not the dish of the year.
It is the dish of the year when that's all we can afford.
True.
I'm just going to leave it there. I did have a bit of some predictions myself.
What's that?
So I think that two things. One, I think a big thing that's going to be focused on, and this is sort of with like my wellness tinfoil hat, is emotional fitness is going to be like the new wellness thing.
Ooh.
Which it sort of has been, but I think that that phrasing is going to be top tier.
Okay, I like that. What does that look like?
It's
though?
Essentially like the focus on your state of mind, and then we're capable of shaping that ourselves.
Biofeedback vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is like electroshock therapy, like I was saying on a past episode, but like a more humane version of like electroshock therapy and shit for your brain.
Yeah. I could see that. I think that that goes into it.
Yeah.
Completely.
Piggybacking it's like, on what you said.
Exactly. And then I saw this article on High Snobiety that I think I've been ruminating on this concept for a while, but the idea that loud budgeting is the new quiet luxury.
Oh, I saw that TikTok guy who said that.
Yeah. I think like loud budgeting is going to be the trend for all of us millennials trying to make it work in this era. I prefer to call it brazen frugality.
What does that mean though? Just like saving, stockpiling
like
your
celebration
money.
Of thriftiness.
Okay.
So like bringing kind of like your own budget and like spending needs to the forefront, and like kind of, I think people's budgeting and like finances have always been really close to the chest, which I think is fine. But I think being like, no, I'm not going to go out to dinner because I'm saving up for this bag.
Fair.
And like that just being part of the combo.
I like monetary transparency. I love, like, I think like I feel like you should just be able to like ask people like how much money they make and like, just like get in the nitty. Like, yeah. I don't like having like about that. Like, right. Or if someone has like a truck, like I want to know everything. I want to share everything. So like, I'm all for that kind of stuff. I have an ODD flare up at the term budgeting. So yeah. I just want to be a hater about that, but I don't disagree.
Right. Well, that's why we're going to call it brazen frugality.
Yeah.
I'm just being frugal and I'm owning it. And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
See you on Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook Marketplace is the real jam.
It really is.
Where deals can be dealt.
I will say the energy for the year feels lighter than I thought it would.
You were in Florida at the time of the alien invasion.
Right.
Thoughts?
But I missed it because I was like offline.
Oh, okay.
But we got some texts being like, what's the deal?
What's the tea?
I don't know. I just saw like a headline. I didn't go further into it.
Okay.
Was it real?
The police said no.
Of course they said no.
I know, but TikTokers are saying otherwise.
I'll have to get into that corner. Do you have any feels for the year? Any trend predictions?
I guess it's like I went into this year just feeling like it's really doom and gloom vibes. Like it's just going to be utter chouse and ramp up, ramp up, ramp up. And to the point where I'm like, it is not worth even being in the United States in the month of October and all of November. I guess that's like been kind of my only major trend. I think also emotional wellness, like shock therapy, taking care of yourself, maybe committing yourself to the insane asylum. Yeah, that kind of thing.
You know, that sort of thing.
More insane asylum transparency, monetary transparency, insane asylum transparency.
Brazen
insanity. Being like, I am so unwell and I'm going to have to check out with Love and Light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sounds like, I don't know, paying out of pocket for like high level concierge medical, preventative, aging, longevity, et cetera, et cetera.
Longevity. Yeah. I'd like to give a huge thank you to the staff at the New York Times for providing today's content.
You guys really know how to make people dislike you. And make for people, that, I tip my hat.
Yeah. Really give me something to think about.
You give us good fodder.
Yeah.
And I always like to read a trend prediction.
Love to read a trend prediction.
Yeah. I'll have to put my thinking cap on about like more trend predictions.
Yeah. I'm all I for like a 6-month check-in mm-hmm. with some new ones.
Mass hysteria is my trend prediction. How to care for oneself in an era of mass hysteria. And I guess like brazen frugality is good because I think I'll go into episodes of mania of that's like a manic spend. So mm-hmm. just getting away from that.
Yeah.
Spending on some concierge time in the insane asylum.
VIP.
Maybe instead of going to Europe, I'll just go to the insane asylum for October, November. Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll just check myself in.
We'll all be there in spirit.
To wherever Raquel was or somewhere equally.
Honestly, it helped her.
It seems like it did.
I listened to the episode and I was riveted.
I think more people going to the insane asylum and maybe more like insane asylums opening up.
Yeah. Concierge.
That's actually like a goop really
insane
good
asylum?
Goop asylum. Like, where you don't, it's not like a hotel, but it's not like a state
right.
sponsored.
It's privatized. It's where,
yeah, it's absolutely privatized, but for people that are a little insane.
Great food, Goop Kitchen, 24/7 on call.
Great food, gut healing food, low inflammation, bone broth, the dish of the year soup served at every meal if that's what you want. And then lots of shock therapy and mental health. B12 shots.
Anytime.
Talk therapy.
Compression boots.
This is what red millennials light really need.
Yeah. We need to check out.
We need to make.
Sign off.
We need to do this startup of like a chic insane asylum that's not crazy expensive. Like we
no,
need a
it's
middle ground.
Budget friendly.
Yeah. Like it's not Cirque Lodge prices and it's not the state hospital where you get 5150.
Right. With, like, it's an in-between.
A fucking murderous killer off the streets.
Yeah. Okay. A lot to plan.
Huge business ideas are afoot.
Major. All right, you guys, thank you so, so much for joining us today. In the meantime,
stay niche.
Bye.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.